A warm welcome from Amsterdam, and thanks for tuning in to a new episode of Game Consultant. Your host of today is Reinout.
Sometimes when you wait for another guest to appear, you take the time to learn people from Scandinavia a bit of Dutch. That goes like this.
No. He can, if he says, for example, three, and then in Dutch it's drie.
Drie.
Then drie, yeah.
Drie.
Yeah, I can ask him actually. Sebas. Iemand wil even weten hoe jij drie zegt.
Drie.
Yeah, that's the rolling R.
It is May the 10th. Welcome to Game Consultant. And don't forget, it's Mother's Day. Today, a jam-packed episode again. Let me start first with the regular items. Chris Reed, Rethinks, all about esports, and Joachim, Elite Game Developers, who is actually going to talk about Supercell. Very interesting. Next to that, my buddy Simon Siskin, he basically sent me an app and said, hey, I have a new website. And I said, okay, cool. Checked it out. Looks cool. Wanted to know more. We got him for an interview. Let me see. We have Doki from Utomic.com. He is going to talk about how he wants to use his platform to have indie developers showcase their games during events, but maybe also in the long run. Who knows? Let's talk about it. Nordic Games is going online, as you know, May 27th, 28th, and 29th. It's all online. And Jacob is getting a bit nervous because, how will that actually go? But he brought also a very interesting person, Thor. And Thor is actually a composer, sound designer, and also a voice actor in video games. He's having a panel at Nordic, and we talk about it. And also, of course, an update about, panels, whatever you can expect at Nordic. So then, I don't forget IndieExpo.net. I was chatting a bit with the guys. They have a very nice site, IndieExpo.net. I see a lot of indie games on there. And they want to shoot over one or two games on a weekly basis if I can give some attention to it. And why not? And lastly, I got a very sweet email coming in. It is from Jochem and Marcel. The company is called Tracksoft, and they have a game. And so I would say it's actually quite a full episode. So shall we start it? Yeah, let's do this. So before we start with the regular items and the interviews I have today, a good friend of mine sent me a link, and he said, hey, can you check out the site? What do you think of it? Do you like it? And well, first of all, I did like the site, but something triggered me, and it said YJWR, and that's actually part of the name of his consultancy company. And I wanted to share you the first line, and then he can finish it. James Walter Rifkin did not know when he was born. His UK passport said 1911. His birth certificate said 1910. And when you asked him, he had no real idea. So, Simon, you want to explain a little bit further?
Hi, Reiner. Thanks. Yeah. Well, James Walter Rifkin is my grandfather, and he was my inspiration, my greatest mentor, and I'm blessed to have had him as my grandfather. And I just loved everything that he stood for. And the sense of right or wrong, a never say die attitude, but an ultimate respect for everybody that he ever met. Yeah, instilled in me a lot of values that I hope I've brought through to today.
Yeah, well, I know you for a long time, and it's really good to see that today you actually have a new website where you explain. I saw the video, so I would say to everyone, just check out the website, jwrventures.com. It explains a bit what you're doing, but also besides this page where you explain the reasoning of the name, which I truly like. You also mentioned, consultancy, there are a lot of consultants, but yeah, you bring in a couple of worlds together, like TV, music, games. It's entertainment-wise, right?
Exactly. And I think that whilst I love the games industry, and as you know, Ryan, you know, I've worked in the games industry mostly for the best part of 15 years, I have other experiences, especially since leaving IQ 2-3 years ago, of working with different media companies, different business models, different marketing and publishing companies that are really innovative when it comes to tech. And I actually think that that sometimes can be a value to the clients that I've worked with. To look at things from a different angle has been especially valuable.
Yeah, yeah. And a nice thing also, I saw Guy Bendoff 2 months ago or something saying, like, on LinkedIn, you know, I'm sparing some time with people that need it. And a lot of people responded because I did follow up on his posting. And people got an hour to have a chat. And you're actually doing the same, I read.
That's exactly it. And I saw that from Guy and I thought, yeah, that made sense. He and I think very similarly about it's that idea. I think I am never happier than when you can together create success, because what's your success is mine. And especially in this time that we're in at the moment, I think that the idea of just helping each other out is something will stand us in the good test of time. So, yes, I'm saying to people, look, it doesn't matter which industry you're in, which vertical, whatever stage you're in. If you'd just like to have a call with me, I would love to do that for free and just see where the conversation goes. If I can help, it would be my pleasure.
Perfect. Hey, and in terms of specialties, I read something about business development, which I know you're good at, investment and strategy. But I also read, and this is something I think that fascinates you, it's IP development and exploitation.
Exactly. I see this over the last, say, well, to be honest with you, almost 30 years of working. And, yeah.
I know. Okay, you don't laugh.
We're all old.
Yeah, we are all. But I see this happening the whole time. I see people are still tend to be very vertical focused. They still tend to work within their own world of television or games or film or music. I see a huge amount of opportunities to leverage the power of the entertainment industries together that are being left on the table. I see intellectual property that is just wonderful, maybe a fantastic cartoon TV IP that's been maybe was transmitted 5-10 years ago on television, but there's amazing games potential in that. And I do fundamentally believe that, you know, there are not many people out there that have the wonderful opportunity that I have to actually create and produce and worked and licensed different kinds of IP. And so I'm encouraging as many content creators to think a little bit outside the box, and I can help them do that.
Cool.
To generate value.
Yeah. Awesome. So for everyone who's listening, obviously, I have this in my blog in the description, jwrventures.com, Simon Siskin, and you can book a call with him. And I saw if you click on it, he has this nice calendar that is connected to HubSpot, so fully automated. Simon, I want to thank you for this quick interview, and we'll catch up soon again.
Ryan, thanks very much. Pleasure as always catching up with you.
All righty, buddy.
You love your podcast.
Yeah. Cheers. Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye.
Up next is Joachim. Joachim is from Elite Game Developers. As I said before, every Friday I'm getting this newsletter. Super duper interesting. If you're not subscribed yet, then I advise you to do so. Today he's talking about Supercell, which he has a few takes on. So Joachim, stage is yours.
Thanks, Ryan. Hi, it's Joachim Akren here from elite game developers. As usual, I've been doing this short clip for Rhino's podcast on the Elite Game Developers newsletter that goes out every Friday, where I cover topics related to gaming startups, gaming companies. So this week's topic, I wanted to look at deconstructor of funds, deconstruction of Supercell. There's five items that I saw kind of stood up in that article that they posted. So first off, I think I wanted to take more like a closer look and share my five important thoughts on what a gaming startup founder should take away from the essay of the Deconstructor Fund. You can read these top five in more detail on the Elite Game Developers website by going to elitegamedevelopers.com/blog, and you can find a news section there. But the 5 points is what I believe as kind of like titles is that PvP has always been key for Supercell as a game feature. Number two, the older titles that they have and the stacks of cohorts that they have on those titles will definitely show a decrease in numbers for the future. Number three, I think that the timing mattered so much for Supercell to actually be there. It's kind of like something that's very much understated when everybody's talking about the great culture that they've built is something that nobody should undermine. But it's sort of like it is higher, like given a higher priority on why they've succeeded. Then number four, the crowded genres that they're in. They basically dominate those genres where they exist. But there's a few points here in the newsletter that I cover on why the crowded genres matter so much for Supercell. And then finally, I reflect some of my own memories regarding talent at Supercell and how I think it matters and plays still today, like how that company is succeeding. And the other content I covered on the newsletter this week was talking about on my blog, like how to work with gaming startup advisors. So I try to give out three kind of like clear things that founders need to take into consideration. It's the expectations on both sides, the incentives for the advisor, and how the formality of the advisor role should be taken into consideration. You can find that on the Elite Game Developers blog as well. And then a final mention here is that we have two new webinars coming out next week. There's one webinar that I'm doing with Sophie Vu on how like working from home for game teams should be taken into consideration. That is happening on May 15th, so it's like a few days out from now. Head on over to Elite Game Developers and check out the links under the newsletter item there on the blog section. And another webinar that is coming up is on hybrid casual, think like Archero and similar games. So we're with Nick Murray, who's a free-to-play games consultant in Berlin. We're going to do a webinar on long-term engagement in hybrid casual gaming and how it could, like, what kind of things developers should take into consideration there. So, yeah, and there's another blog, a podcast episode, actually, that came out this week where I talk about how to raise investor money. But you can find that under the podcast section in Elite Game Developers. So that's it for this week. Stay safe and stay well.
Thanks, Joachim. And everyone, check out elitegamedevelopers.com. Next, Reed thinks it's all about esports. Let's do this, Chris.
Hey guys, welcome back to another Reed Thinks. Today we're going to talk about esports companies in the public markets because there's a couple of different layers I wanted to discuss. I think that public companies that are, I guess, air quotes, pure esports plays can give us a little bit of insight into what's going on with the industry over the past couple of years. And I do think for someone that maybe is fairly new to the esports space, but has a little bit of knowledge and a background in the finance space. It kind of gives you a quick, I don't know, overview or story as to what's happened with companies over the last couple of years. So what this is not going to be is a company bashing section. I'm not going to do that. But it's just an overview of what's happened the last couple of years. So if you look at some of the price action of some of the public companies in esports, it's been a rough go over the last year, year and a half. So a couple of these companies IPO'd end of 2018, early 2019. And what's interesting around that is that's kind of the feel for me, and I think others agree, that end of 2018, early 2019 was that quasi bubble pop. And when I say bubble pop, I don't mean the entire industry, but there was this undertone of issues that really started to be glaring at that point around the space. And a lot of these companies have been crushed since then. So a few of these companies are down 60, 70, 80%. Some were down almost 90% from their IPOs, which we'll get that in just a minute on a couple of different things that's pushing that downward pressure. But look, in the end, the market's talking. The market is saying, okay, what's your long-term plan for profitability? And obviously, what they have shown so far is the market can't see the long-term plan to get to positive EBITDA, to be a profitable company. Look, it's great that there's 150 million people coming to your website over a course of this, and you have 900 YouTube channels, and yeah, but is that going to be viable? Is it a viable business when it comes to actually making money, and not just top line revenue either? So that's what the market has really said. Now, the downward pressure after an IPO when a company goes public, it's a couple different things. So one is you have investors from years ago, potentially, that this is a liquidity event for them. This is for if a fund was involved, this is an opportunity for them to de-risk, to raise cash for the portfolio. And look, these companies, when they IPO'd, were, in my opinion, a ridiculous valuation, and the market obviously agreed with that, and people would agree with me as well. And some of these are, quite frankly, still a pretty high valuation. Obviously, it's come back down to earth a little bit, but that downward pressure comes from past investors, which makes sense again for the de-risking. So you've got that, plus you just had so much hype around the space that a lot of times you look back at different sectors over the decades. Is that when these sector companies start IPOing, and you're seeing a lot of sell pressure, it's liquidity event and investors are getting out and de-risking. So it's nothing new. And just because an IPO goes down 50% doesn't mean that it's a bad company. Look, Facebook went down 50% within the first 6-7 months. Shopify went down 60. We're right around 30-40% the first few months or first 6-7 months. And look, they went on to what 10x, 20x, 30x their valuation from there. So this happens a lot in other sectors, so it doesn't mean just because they're down 50% plus doesn't mean they can't make it. But what are these pure play esports companies? What are they going to do? How are they going to turn their business model and pivot? So, that's obviously on the management team. They're going to have to figure that out. Now, the other issue is a lot of times with new sectors and companies in a fairly new space, from a sense of being a commercialized, the first wave of commercialized companies in the space. They're kind of the guinea pigs per se, as far as, all right, here's our business model, here's what we're doing. And then the market's like, nope. And it gets rejected. So what I do think is you have kind of maybe this 2.0 of other companies coming in behind saying, okay, we've seen what these other entities have done that hasn't worked out. So here's what we're not going to do. So I do think the market's going to learn from, the issues of the past couple of years. Right now, I would say, I would think most would agree that right now we're in this consolidation, we're in this merger and acquisition kind of part of the space. And, assets are cheaper, obviously, than they were a year, year and a half ago. So you are gonna have activity because, again, if you can pivot, if you can do an acquisition and then have, a game plan for a five-year horizon to become profitable or whatever that time horizon would be, maybe a little bit sooner, then the market will start to turn on some of these public, if those entities are public. Now, look, most of the orgs are private, for those that follow the space. So when it comes to on the organization side, and then, of course, you have you have your publishers, of course, but you know, Activision, ATVI, and EA, and Take-Two. But it's interesting to look at these pure play esports companies. I guess you have to put air quotes around that, but because there's not many of them. But we do have some public data, and it does tell you a little bit of a story of, you know, the underlying bubble pop per se that was within that 2018 to the Q2 2019 range. So wanted to go over that. Obviously, it's interesting to look at price action in the public markets just in general. But then also what the fairly recent IPOs, what they have done, and also having a if you know like kind of the history of the financial markets and what IPOs tend to do and what new sectors tend to do and things like that, and kind of the growing pains of a new sector, what has happened in the past and what to expect potentially in the future. I think it's good to give perspective. So hope you guys enjoy this. Would love to hear from you guys. If you have other topics you would like discussed, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn, Chris Reed, C-R-I-S-R-E-E-D, or hit me up on Twitter at the Level Up EXP. Again, at the Level Up EXP. Thanks.
Thanks, Chris. And everyone, check out the Level Up Experience on LinkedIn. On a weekly basis, he's doing interesting interviews. So the Level Up Experience. Next, we're doing some indie stuff. Let's do the indie stuff. So on a weekly basis, I'm actually getting quite a few emails in my inbox. Developers, we have developed a new game. Can you give it some promotion, attention, etc., etc.? And I wasn't sure how I should do it. And if you start with one, you get many, many more. But I just want to do it. And you know, sometimes it's very difficult to have the titles right or have the audio right. But I always learned you better can start doing something and then improve it. So what I do today is actually one email that I got. I'm paying attention to it. And the guys from IndieExpo.net, where I was chatting a bit with, they gave me two titles that I should look after. So again, don't mind if the audio is good. No, I don't mind. Links are always on my website, so the blog and in the description. I hope it's fun, and power to the indies, and let's give it a shot. Indie time. I got in contact with indieexpo.net. Check out the website. It's actually a lot of games on there. I'm serving on it as we speak. And so basically they said, hey, can you promote some of these games? And I said, yeah, sure. I mean, indie games, always fun. And so they have sections like games that recently gained over 1,000 players. Most download today, last 7 days, most recent. And I like to support these kind of websites. I had one in the past, which was MMOgames.com. And it was really a lot of fun. So, if I look at it, it's the first that they actually mentioned. And let me check. There are actually two that they sent in, so they will send more whenever they feel that it should get some more attention. So let's start with one of the first.
Dracoon lived in peace, and its king meted out justice with sympathy. After the death of Draken's king, darkness spread over everything that was under the sky. Almost everything.
Home Gang. I'm not sure if I say it right, but Drekorum. A land of peace and prosperity. But King Haziel's death caused darkness and wickedness over the kingdom. It all seemed lost, but three heroes will rise against injustice. It's a game where I can see that right now they have about 306 players, and link is on my website. And the other one is actually, let me check, that's Aurora. And I don't know if I say it right. Aurora, the lost medallion. I think that one is actually just up now. The Lost Medallion is a 2D hand-drawn sci-fi fantasy game. And what can we tell more about it? Well, actually, you should check it out. I see they have the language in Italian, English, German, Spanish, French. There you go. So two of these games, actually, and you can also find them on the indieexpo.net. And yeah, Mario, thank you very much. And keep sending these these fun indie games. Love to promote them. So I got a very sweet email in my inbox. And funny enough, I was watching the trailer and the music was catchy, I had to say. And what you hear in the background is, there you go. That's actually Coromon, if I say it right. And, you know, the guys were actually saying like, hey, we're two people behind the indie game studio, and it's called Tracksoft. So I have the link on my site. They have a Steam page. They have a trailer. So I put all those links in my blog. And so they released a demo in January. And according to them, they have received tons of positive feedback. Some players even spent more than 100 hours. Well done, guys. We're planning to release the game this summer. And although we have reached around 65,000 unique players following the demo, we're still looking at ways to get our name out there. Besides the fact that I had some questions for me, but that's a different story. I was wondering, since you're actually listening to this podcast, why don't you check it out? The website is coromon.com, as you can see it on my blog also. And whoever is out there and can facilitate some help for these guys, that would be appreciated very much. Hey, guys, I wish you the best of luck. Well done. Jochem and Marcel, keep it going, guys. Well, these were the first two items on Indies. And as said, keep it coming. And if I am able to actually, and I'm not pressed in time, and lately I'm pressed in time, but as much as I can do, I will definitely give some attention to indie game developers. So you have my email address, most likely, reinoutdebraak@gmail.com. So keep sending it. And okay, let's move to Nordic. Nordic Game Online. So it's time for a Nordic update. Nordic Game. What can I say about it? Nordic goes online. It's May 27th, 28th, and 29th. And as usual, I hope that Jacob will say something funny so I can actually start the episode. Who knows? last time I had to hit him, and then he went completely wild with all kinds of updates about Nordic. But today, he's not doing it alone. We have, I'm holding my breath if I say it right, Thor Myrdal.
Close enough.
Ah, deal. So we're kicking it off with you, Jacob. From making a video that went through the history of Nordic, what did you do in the last couple of days? And what is the score so far with the event?
I just sat and watched that video over and over again. And just like, oh, this is a great video, man. Well done.
Cool. No. Hey, Thor.
No, basically, I went straight into a ton of other tasks. You know, I'm not less enthusiastic if you are worried about that from the last time we talked. Yeah. But I will try to restrain myself for this focus of this talk today and focus on the live stream that we're doing, the speaker program, because I've really, really, really tried to create a program that will first of all, be entertaining and get you to learn new stuff, and also to be like a mirror to what you can expect for the next Nordic game in November as well. So I have like a, you know, like a mission here to evangelize not only the online version, but also the November version. And that is why it's so really important that we get all the support we can get for the May edition, so that we can actually create the physical version, hopefully, of Nordic Game in late November. So it's all getting together. There's a red thread through it all. Yeah. And that is also why I'm really, really thrilled that Thor have joined us for this talk or this session here now, because he's one of the cornerstones actually of the speaker program. But before I leave the word to Thorn, I'll just mention, you know, what some of the highlights of the speaker program. It will kick off on the 27th, as you say. Actually, I'm planning now to do like a sneak preview on the 26th as well, with some brilliant talks in there. I cannot reveal what it will be, but I my plan is that to go live and free for all on the Tuesday in the late afternoon, to get people to see what it is that we are trying to achieve. So let's do an update about that later in the...
Yeah, we're still at the 8th. And obviously, I would say a week before, then it would be nice if people would be aware that there is something on the 26th. That's for later. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So you know, one of the highlights that I wanna bring out here in terms of the talks is obviously one of our great mascots, a guy that has been doing talks exclusively for Nordic in the past 5, 6, maybe even 8 years, and his name is Steve Curran. I don't know if you know him, but he's a great, brilliant dude. He started off at the old Edge magazine. I don't know if you remember it.
Yeah.
But back then, when I started to be like really interested in the industry, he was writing under a pseudonym that was called Red Eye, and he was doing like investigative journalism about the industry. And I was, every time I bought the print magazine back then, I was like, the first thing I wanted to read was the Red Eye section, where he kind of describes how it is to work in the industry, what is the downfalls and the, you know, the good things. And I was such a fanboy that when I started doing the Nordic Game, I immediately tried to find him, and I had managed, and I got him to work with us. So ever since then, he's been creating unique talks that it's not like the normal talk, you know, where it's a PowerPoint and they go through some tech thing, but which is great. But Steve's more about doing weird kind of theatrical sessions. And so for normally he does that in front of a live audience and everybody's like, that is amazing. But for this edition, the online only NT20 in late May here, he's doing something really funny. He's inviting people into his Animal Crossing garden to do a guided tour where you can experience all the neat stuff that he's made in there. Yeah, I know. Does it sound too weird for you? Well, you should try it anyway, because it is a great, sarcastic, ironic, humorous comment to our lives as gamers and our lives as developers.
Yeah, funny.
Jesus. So that's definitely one of the highlights. Then another.
I mean, he is always creating experiences, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just a talk; it's an experience. If you see him, like that's the whole point about it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that will be great again.
That's a good add-on. I think that actually explains a lot. It's an experience talk.
Yeah, more than it's like, okay, I'm going home with some knowledge about how to program or, you know, code or anything. It's more like, okay, who am I? Why am I here in this industry? What is my role? what is it that I want to do with my life as a game industry member, you know? So, so I'm really looking forward to that one. And then another headline is a tradition. I think it's going to be like the fourth or fifth time we're actually doing it. And it's a music panel. So you know, a normal music panel, you have composers sitting and then they talk about their work and, you know, why do I compose and all that, which is great. But for this panel, which was invented by Arnold Nessus and Thor here as well. Oh, that's my segue there. is called Same Game, Different Music. So it means that we have a panel of composers that compose a snippet of music to the same snippet of gameplay from a game. And then they, you know, as a viewer, you will experience it. You will see the gameplay snippet and the music that each of the composers have done for it. And then you can actually, you know, on your for yourself, see how huge a difference it makes, how huge a difference audio makes on a game and the vibe and the feel. So without spilling too much into what Thor was supposed to be saying, I will leave the word now to Thor to explain it a little bit further.
So, yeah, that's basically a good outline of it. But like how long do we do this now, Jacob? Four years?
I think so. Four or even five, I think.
Yeah. Cool. And like we kind of, first of all, it became tradition by now.
Yeah.
We do this every year, and we sometimes we have like recurring composers who were on the panel before, but we always try to get in people also who are like not new to the industry, but not new to that panel. And this time it's slightly different because we are in a new situation completely. So I said, okay, let's see if we can't make this panel because Arnold doesn't have time to organize it. So I took over.
Yeah.
And if we can't make this panel a little bit different also in terms of the whole experience. Oh. And due to some malfunction in communication, we have now the point that the half of the crew will actually do the music writing for that snippet,
yeah,
and the other half will rip them completely apart also. Oh, in their judgment.
I didn't even know. So that's cool.
Yeah, that happened today because, like, I forgot.
That's a lot what you don't know, Jacob. So
to mention to Lee Ortega that he needs to write music, so he was a little bit surprised by that fact. But normally, it's interesting because although it's the same material we have, and we have like there are certain boxes you think in genres and stuff. So you have a game, you see a genre. Like last year, it was First World War. You have a certain box you open in your mind that you know from media how like First or Second World War music sounds, right? Like there's like so much media that was done in that approach that you have certain expectations. But although like we all know the boxes, everyone has a very different way of doing it.
Yeah.
And it sounds completely different from each other sometimes, although they're so close on the genre that is actually also already like written down.
Yeah.
This time
or can I do like a spoiler here? Last year the game was called Broken Lines. It's a World War II RTS strategy game, and the panel there, they it was amazing to watch how much a difference it can make for the vibe of the game, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
This is like we also last year on last year Nordic Arnold had the during the Nordic Party the live concert with the band for his live music video game, and the bass player Rob from the band Epica, he was also part of the panel, so he was bringing in completely fresh approach and a fresh idea, and like for every one of us who is like more used to write to video games, we were like hearing a version that nobody expected, you know, like just the difference. If you have a slightly different background in music, how much of a difference it makes for the versions already that you come up with as a composer. That's interesting to see. And you always learn from in their panels, you always learn from the other composers so much in terms of how do they approach things. So you always get your mind open like to new ways and new ideas. And like, I never thought about that. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, and what we try to mostly in the panels in the last years when we do it like offline, what we try to communicate, we talk about our approaches and we really talk about the audio approach. What we also want to do, or what I want to do in moderation slightly different here, is not just talk about the audio approach, but also about the approach of, okay, how would that like come up in terms of the game development pipeline?
Yeah.
So what can game developers learn from that, not just by choosing the right composer and taking their time to look for the right composer for the game, because through that kind of panels you can see how different their approaches are. So just because you want no one composer, it doesn't mean he's really the guy you can have that's like elevating your storytelling through music and your emotional approach to music in the game.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean that you just know one guy and he's the right one.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of game developers don't, especially indie developers, don't have that in mind. Music is one thing that always comes late in development process.
Unfortunately.
I'm since years on the mission to change that and say, hey, you really bind them early in. It's benefiting for your game, because our job in the end is to tell the emotional story, because music is the element that transports that.
Yeah.
And for the composers, what like I teased that a little bit with them, and everyone agrees on that more or less. Like we talk about also what kind of role does a composer fit in a video game development team.
Yeah.
So because a lot of developers have this idea, okay, the composer is the audio guy, and he is doing the music and that's the music thing. No, he is part of the whole canvas that you're painting as a game,
yeah,
right? Like he is an like just a part of it. And composers, especially what we want to get is to have new composers being more engaged also in that, like upcoming composers, people who are starting out and want to do game music. And so the people I chose for the panel, they all have a good community on the audio side.
Yeah.
So we have like a lot of people who are interested from the audio side also to learn how to do stuff for video games. And then, of course, we reach out to the video game development side too, so that they can learn. And hopefully there will be a chat going on and conversation, and maybe like some of the audience people from the audio side who are coming in can make the first connections to maybe some developers in the chat while people discuss about stuff.
Yeah,
that would be the ultimate goal, to make this completely perfect for the audience, right? I mean, Jack,
I love the way you're selling this, man.
So bottom line, games and music, how are you going to work with someone that is composing? How can you integrate them in your development team? And how important is audio / music for the game experience?
Yeah, and how is the perception of music and of material different for audio people? Like to really point that out, how different it can be, how someone is approaching your video game. Because mostly, you know, nowadays you fulfill more than one job as a composer. Back in the days, it was like you're composing, then you set it off to an editor, and then you set it off to some recording stuff, mixing engineer.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you do everything, especially if you're just demoing for a video game and you're acquiring a job, you're doing all these jobs yourself. So composers nowadays needs to learn a lot of different tasks and skill sets. And we also talk about that kind of business approach in the second half of the whole thing, because we have people on the panel who are very good at the business side of audio.
Yeah.
I made sure of that the people really know how to do the business side. So we can teach some business insight also, how to approach that and how to deal with that. And what do you really need to know? How can you work? And also, sometimes game developers don't understand the audio pipeline, and why do you send stuff off to an external studio? Why do you need a budget for mixing, for mastering your stuff?
Yeah.
And we want to highlight out more for indie developers what's actually necessary to really fulfill a good audio on your pipeline and make that work, so that the overall quality of your game elevates in general.
Can I just jump in here and say that's an amazing concept, right, Reino?
Can I jump in here? And was that a registration?
What?
I heard an email coming in. Was that a registration?
Yeah. It's booming, man. It's like in a tsunami of. I just wanted to do the last comment there and to say that our goal is that after every talk in the live stream program, the speakers, I will force them or at least ask them politely to join us on the Discord server after the talks. So that if you have seen a talk and you have maybe, you know, seen the Q&A that will be part of it as well, but you really didn't get, you know, an answer to your question, then you can jump straight into the Discord server, the Nordic Game 20 Discord server, and meet the speakers afterwards there and continue your debate or discussion or your question there.
Yeah.
Cool, eh?
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, guys.
I think that's very important.
Yeah.
Especially in these times now, you know, like
exchange numbers, emails, whatsoever, but also maybe go a little bit more in depth. I think that's a nice add-on. And you know, actually, with offline, people are sort of behind a wall and gone. And this is actually with online an extra dimension of getting a bit more in contact, or maybe ask that question where maybe there wasn't time for.
I realized a really, really good thing in this whole, I mean, I'm right now on the Meet to Match for the Game Developers Carnival.
Yeah.
And I realized that a lot in communication in business that changed from all the offline events to now. So people are actually like really taking more care of their Meet to Match, first of all, what's really interesting. I mean, for the people who don't know Meet to Match is like the business meeting system that is used by Nordic also and by many, many different game conferences out there. And that really changed like how... Like the people fill out their LinkedIns, their email addresses, their phone numbers, and it used to be just a description, right? Now they put all their details and their contact details, and they reach out on LinkedIn, they reach out on Skype, they reach out on email before it goes into the meeting in general.
Yeah.
And that used to be less, you know, like that really changed because the people were like, I will see him anyway at the conference. Then we exchange cards. And this whole approach, the people are way more communicative with each other.
Yeah.
And that's really good thing in terms of business. And like, I can just advise every indie company to jump on the conferences and say, hey, do your Meet to Match and get the opportunities there, because the industry is hungry now for connections online.
Yeah.
And that's the best way to get into the world of biz dev as young companies right now, because right now you don't need to spend a lot of money on traveling.
No, too, man. True. Work that.
It's I'm actually seeing that Hendrik Lesser is doing his event this upcoming week, 13th and 14th of May. That's European Games Biz Dev Gathering.
Yeah,
but that was sort of really quickly done, and he's maybe going to do it more often. But this is actually upcoming week.
Weird dates, because people should be like prepping for Nordic Game, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
Another online, what the fuck is going on? Oh, sorry, my language.
Yeah, no. But you can continue, because a game, Dev Carnival, that's actually May 11th and 12th. Yeah. So, but that's all good. Well, then I'll do the promotion for Nordic. Very happy to see that Unity has joined Nordic Game 20 and Nordic Game 20 Plus. So that's nice. And I'm sure if there are any game companies that want to do help out a local event, the Nordics, they can always contact you.
Can I do like a last shout out here?
Yeah,
we just made an agreement with a Danish game developer who's doing a game called Trouble. Oh, now I forgot the name, but it's called something with Trouble. It's a social online game.
You are in trouble.
I'm in big trouble now. but they are actually launching a special version of their game during the Nordic Game Days, and you get your code for that game when you sign up for a ticket for NG20, and then you get access to a brand new social game. It's on Steam already. But they have made a special Nordic version. So I encourage, you know, every studio that has something that they want to share, something that they want to do, something that they can that can be fun to share with us, to contact me or Teddy directly, and let's talk.
Yeah, cool.
Contact more Jacob than Teddy. Teddy is weird. Okay, just... Sorry, Teddy. You're the worst agent ever.
Okay, so let's dive in a little bit deeper now.
The bedroom edition of your podcast.
Oh, sorry, Teddy. I like you.
No, there needs to be a Teddy bashing, yeah, you know, in every conversation at least once.
Yeah, no.
It's like bassism. It's like bassism in music. Yeah, you need to bash a bass player
only once
in a while.
If they need that. No, I got it wrong because I'm bashing him 24/7. But okay, I'll... Okay, guys.
Yeah, also fun.
I want to thank you for this. Besides very nice speakers and a panel about music, which is very important for gaming anyways, also very interesting, yeah, as in a recap that any people that are in the panel, as far as they can, they will be on the Discord channel to host a series of questions that, yes, people have. And yeah, any game developer out there that has something to demonstrate or whatever, they want to show something or share something, reach out. And if there are people interested in sponsoring, there are always certain
packages. Oh yeah, they are top donations. Priority, man.
Yeah, exactly. And the tickets, 99 euros. Explain it one more time, because some people are saying, I'm scrolling on the site and I don't know where to click. Well, that couldn't be the case, but it's 99 euros. You have your ticket for Nordic Online and Nordic Plus later on in the year, right?
Exactly.
Bingo. 99 euros. That's,
yes,
too
it
easy.
Is.
Cool.
Utomic.com. Yeah, you can say the Spotify or the Netflix of gaming. And one of my earliest episodes of The Game Consultant, I actually shared some details about the company and also interviewed Doki. And this week we were catching up on some events, and then I thought, like, hey, interesting, showcasing the games for indies while they are at events, online events, but could also be offline events. And yeah, so we basically said, let's have a chat on it and let's see. I also introduced Doki to the guys of Nordic. Let's see what he has to say about it. Doki, Utomic.com.
Utomic.com. I was actually informed by Doki. We did a catch-up call last week, and he was telling me, like, yeah, COVID-19, it's not a fun period for a lot of people, but for gamers, it's the ultimate. Yeah, you're at home, you're sitting in your room or wherever you are, and you can play games. And also for indies, it's interesting. But normally they have their offline events. They can take their phone. They have the demo on the phones, and they run from one booth to another stand and show quickly what they have. And they can say, actually, hey, that's interesting, I want to know more, but also showcase their games to a larger audience. As I refer to my item later in this episode, where some indies are basically saying, yeah, we have 65,000 players, but we like to have more. Well, these guys can also now check out Utomic.com, because Utomic wants to offer to indie game developers the possibility to showcase their games on their platform during events. And that was a very important add-on, Doki said. Right, Doki?
Yes, yes. Because basically, at the start of the crisis, very soon, I think days after it happened, we immediately thought, like, all these events are being canceled. And a lot of indie developers around the globe depend entirely on getting exposure from events for consumers, for journalists, for influencers, even publishers, right? They're, yeah, all trying to get attention, and that was all gone. The same happened for us, because as a platform, we're always looking for new games. So we immediately sat down and said, like, how can we help? Is there anything that we can do? And then very quickly, we came to a conclusion, like, hey, our platform lets developers onboard games on our platform without any effort whatsoever.
Yeah.
And then it was like, hey, we've been collaborating with some events, like we did in the arena booth last year at Gamescom. We've done Bit Summit in the past in Japan. And then we did some smaller sponsorships elsewhere as well.
Yeah.
And then it was like, hey, what if our platform would be like a virtual booth space and we could collaborate with events so that that the events are still the events. And then if they want to showcase, they can go to our platform. All the event visitors can get to the games. The event would have a place within our platform. And then before we started work, we really wanted to know, like, you know, we think this is helpful, but, you know, we better talk to some people. So we talked to some event organizers. We talked to even some publishers and some developers. And, you know, they were all very excited. And then, of course, we had the big thing because this would require some extra development from our end and, you know, resources. So I really had to talk to all our teams, like, hey, guys, what do you think? And can we do this like in a short time frame? And the short answer is yes. Recently, we announced the partnership with Indigo, an indie gaming showcase event. What mm-hmm. do you know? Yeah. From the Netherlands. There's also another event soon to be announced. There's a couple of more that have approached us already. And it's been really amazing to see how our team has responded to it, because basically all the work they're putting in is like outside of all the other projects they're doing. Mm-hmm. So everybody has to walk the extra mile. Yeah, it's been fun. Actually, right now we're onboarding games. One of the key questions we got, like, everybody was like, technically, like, what do we got to do? And then basically it's if you're an indie, we only do this through events, so we don't do showcases right now directly because we really want to aggregate everything through those events. I also think it's smart because it gets more exposure. So definitely sign up for those events and maybe tell those events about Mutomic as a platform. Yeah. And what you got to do is simply give us a build, be it a Steam build, be it a DRM free demo build. And then we'll take care of the rest. One of the key things that we are not doing is the proper testing. So usually when we get games on our platform, it's like, give us the build. We'll take care of everything and it'll be on our platform.
Yeah.
In this case, because we're doing this on a voluntary basis, on best effort.
Yeah.
So we get the games. We do, as our CTO would call, a smoke test. It's something from back in the hardware days where you just switch something on. Does it work? Does it not smoke? No, it's not burning. It must be okay.
Yeah.
And then all the rest of the testing we leave to the event organizers because they want to get good games on their events. So we want some quality and the developers themselves, of course. So yeah, that's basically how it works. Yeah, and then we have some really basic terms of service, right? We don't want to get angry developers, so, you know, people will be able to play these games. Yeah. And one of the key decisions we've made is that everybody that plays Mutomic will also be able to play the games and discover the games. And the event will have its separate page within our app, essentially, where all the games can be found so people can search them and find them everywhere. So that's in a nutshell what we're doing, and it's nice. We like it.
Yeah, cool. And they can just go to the website mutomic.com, or is there anything, a special page?
Like,
or
we haven't done anything on our website. The best thing you can do is look at all the events that you used to participate in. Maybe you can tell them about what we're doing. We haven't been shouting about this because we only recently started doing this. I'm pushing our team to get more bandwidth.
Yeah,
because we've got more events already approaching us, but we really feel that this is a really cool thing to do. So also feel free to mail us so that we can put you in the list if we have more events, so that you can be so you sign up for those events.
But it also means that everyone
we get demoed. We leave them.
Everyone who's organizing an event, that would be the right way, because then game developers that are involved of these events will automatically get the connection anyway. So bottom line, what you're looking at are organizers of game events like the Nordic, like you have, for example, Xola doing Game Dev Carnival, Hendrik Lesser, who's having his event. Well, there's so many coming up. Indigo, as I'm describing. So if you're organizing an event or you want to do anything online, it's all about games. It's about showing the new games that have been released or about to be released. Then reach out to Doki of Utomic.com. Email address is quite simple. Doki at is with a K, Doki at Utomic.com. And he or someone of his team will then follow up.
Yeah, we'll forward you to the events or tell you what to do, because we do not want to curate. The curation, like what games are at the event, we don't want to interfere.
No.
Got it.
Clear. I want to wish you a happy Mother's Day, and we talk soon.
Same to you. Thanks.
Alrighty, man. Cheers.
Be healthy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So that was all for today. That was actually a mighty interesting episode, if I may say so. Several people got to talk about their games, their passion. Definitely I have an item in mind when it comes to music, so I'm definitely going to ask Thor to come back in the show. Yeah, indies, I definitely want to give more attention to the indie game developers. I think they deserve it, and I love the item of Joachim with looking at such a huge company as Supercell is. But also, guys, there are some online events coming up. The event of Hendrik Lesser, Xola with Game Dev Carnival, and Nordic, it's all happening in May. So if you're listening to this, check it out. It's the dates and the links to these events to register are on my site /blog. As I always say, ciao for now.
This was all for today. Thanks so much for listening to Game Consultant. Tune in next week for a brand new episode. And remember, do share this podcast with other members of the games industry.